philosophy could be funny. Well, in their new book, Plato and a Platypus Walk into a Bar, Thomas Cathcart and Daniel Klein explore the area where traditional philosophical thought and Borscht Belt humor overlap. Since its release, the book has spent several weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. It's published by Abrams Image, and I'm very pleased it has brought Thomas Cathcart and Daniel Klein to my show today. Hello.
Hello, Leonard. Glad to be here.
So when did you first realize philosophy and humor had so much in common? I'll begin with you, Dan.
I think about 50 years ago when we were undergraduates in college. We've known each other for 50 years when we were both undergraduates and both majored in philosophy. And I would find certain very serious things extremely funny that I wasn't supposed to. Like one book about ontology began, "Why are there things rather than nothing?" And this was supposed to shake me to the roots, but it made me giggle.
So does Nietzsche make you laugh?
Nietzsche, oh, yeah. Nietzsche's a gas.
Do philosophers, when they get together at seminars, tell jokes to each other?
I don't think they actually do. No, a lot of philosophers are quite serious-minded people. Yeah.
They say Wittgenstein had a sense of humor and that he once commented that the definitive work would be just a book of jokes. And so we hope we've fulfilled his prediction.
Well, Wittgenstein was a man who was really interested in language.
And very much so.
That is something that you say is important here in seeing the place where philosophy and jokes connect. They both tease the mind in similar ways.
Yeah, we feel that way. We notice that jokes and philosophy have one thing in common, which is that they sort of flip our ordinary world upside down and give us a little different perspective. And just like in a joke, there's that moment when you're reading a philosophically insightful piece that you don't quite get it, and then you have the aha experience. And just as in a joke, when you have that moment, part of why you laugh is you're delighted with yourself that you got the joke. And that's part of the pleasure of philosophy as well.
So there's an epiphany moment in both?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've
written get it.
Go ahead. I get it. When I'm reading one of the philosophers of the past and I feel a little confused and then suddenly I get it, then that opens a door and I can go on to read the next paragraph.
Yeah, I think that is the way it works. And jokes do the similar thing. You know, they lead you down a corridor, and then all of a sudden, a door opens, and you say, wow.
They also usually remind you of another joke. You're listening to a joke in the middle of hearing the joke. You think, oh, well, I got a joke to tell this guy.
Exactly.
You've also written that philosophy is just playing games with words, just a matter of semantics. Now, you're talking about contemporary philosophy, aren't you? Because philosophy wasn't always about words.
That's right, yes. Yeah, particularly in the 20th century and the 21st century, a lot of philosophers have become interested in the structure of language. And Wittgenstein, whom we just mentioned, was actually a philosopher in the mid-20th century, early 20th century, who had a number of disciples at Oxford University, whose whole thing was linguistic analysis. And one of their things was that they felt that a lot of the traditional philosophical questions had seemed so baffling only because the questions were unclear. And that if we just sort of untangled the question and asked the right question, that poof, the little knot that we had experienced for 2,500 years would suddenly dissolve. And we actually have a story that illustrates that. A couple moves into a new apartment and they decide that they're going to paper the apartment. And they don't quite know how many rolls of wallpaper to buy, and so they go downstairs to their downstairs neighbor who has an identical apartment, and they ask, how many rolls of wallpaper did you buy when you papered your apartment? And he said, 7. So it was very expensive paper, but they went out and got the 7 rolls. And after they finished papering the apartment, they had 3 rolls left over. And so they were quite upset. They'd spent a lot of money needlessly, and they went downstairs and knocked on the neighbor's door. They said, we ended up with 3 rolls left over. And the neighbor said, that happened to you too.
Yeah, well, to some degree, what makes jokes funny is, well, 2 things. They're leading us down a certain path, and we're not exactly sure where we're going to go. And then there's the incongruous thing, the twist that leads us somewhere else.
Yep.
And we're laughing at the fact that they don't necessarily mesh, but then they they do have a logic to themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell a joke that I think very well illustrates the point that you've just made. It's the story about this guy is in bed making love to his best friend's wife when they hear a car come up in the driveway. And so the guy jumps out of bed and hides naked in the closet. Just as the husband saunters in, he walks over to the closet, opens the door, and he says, his friend Mort there, naked in his closet. He says, "Mort, what are you doing there?" And Mort says, "Well, everybody's got to be somewhere."
This is a philosophical joke.
It is, yeah.
In many ways, it was sort of our philosophical joke, because when I told it to Tom, he says, "Do you realize that he's asking an existential question, and the guy is giving him an absolutist answer?" And I didn't.
And how often do you apply these kinds of philosophical things to jokes? I mean, I could see somebody telling a joke and the other one saying, "Yeah, being a nothingness."
That's right.
Well, we notice it more and more now. We never noticed it that much before, but now we're getting a little more acute about it. But not all jokes are philosophical, obviously, and not all philosophy lends itself to jokes, or maybe we just haven't discovered the connections yet. But there are a lot of jokes that really do illustrate philosophical ideas.
And you've called the act of communicating philosophy through jokes philo-gagging.
Philo-gagging.
Yes.
You invented that, I assume.
Yes, it's a neologism.
Now, any concern that it might bring to mind the idea of choking on philosophy rather than laughing at it, kind of like philo-gag me with a spoon?
Exactly. That's a possibility.
I can see the lawsuits already.
You've included chapters on some pretty heavy subjects here, including metaphysics, ethics, relativity. Were you able to find jokes that corresponded to every branch of philosophy?
Just about. Yeah. I mean, it took some heavy going. Relativity jokes are all over the place, particularly
really?
About the relativity of time as it's experienced existentially as compared to what they call clock time, you know, the time that represents the way the spheres rotate around one another. And a lot of them are snail jokes, which I adore, like a snail is mugged by a turtle, and the police interrogate him, and they say, "Well, what happened?" And the snail says, "You know, it happened so fast, I can't really tell you."
Do philosophers tell jokes about philosophers?
Yeah, and they're usually not very good. You know, like there's one that people often call in with about Descartes is in a bar. How does that one go, Tom?
Descartes is in a bar, and he orders actually a coffee drink, and the bartender says, would you like cream with that? And he says, "I think not," and he disappeared.
Yeah. Those are philosopher's jokes.
That was putting Descartes before the horse. Yeah,
exactly.
We all know. My guests are Thomas Cathcart and Daniel Klein, whose book, Plato and a Platypus Walk into a Bar, examines the place where philosophy and Borscht Belt humor coincide, including some jokes about death. Now,
yes.
I was surprised to see there were that many jokes about death.
Oh, yes. It's you know, I'm psychologically speaking, a lot of humor comes out of those things that make us most anxious. And so that's why there's so many jokes about sex and death.
And you have a joke here that Gilda Radner told when she knew she had cancer that was about both.
Yes. And I'll tell it. I'm so impressed that she could tell it when she knew she was dying. And it's about a woman who's dying, and she's been given just 12 hours to live. And when her husband comes home, she gives him the news, and she says, "You know, honey, it's my last night on earth. Make love to me. I'd like my last night to be making love." And her husband says, you know, sometimes you're in the mood, sometimes you're not in the mood. You know, it's just not right for me right now. You can't make these things happen. And she says, "Honey, please make love to me. You know, it's my dying wish." And he says, "You know, I'm just not in the mood. You know, you got to have sort of that mood thing going." And she begs him, "Please make love to me. It's my last night." And he says, "It's easy for you. You don't have to get up in the morning."
I'd imagine audiences gasped knowing that she was going to die of cancer.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Now, I'm sure many people wonder why anyone even majors in philosophy in college, because it seems to me the only job you can get is teaching other people.
Our fathers certainly wondered.
Yes. And we wish they were alive now to see it. We finally, 50 years
finally
later,
did something
made
else.
A buck out of it. Yes.
You've included a few quiz questions in your book, like the one after the joke about the man giving each of his three girlfriends $5,000 and watching how they spent it to help him decide which one to marry. You want to tell us the joke first and then a quiz question?
Okay, it's kind of a complex joke. Could you give me a page referral here?
Actually, not. No, but I can't remember. It's okay. But these are philosophical questions, and actually, the joke is based on something that a philosopher would respond to, right?
Exactly.
I mean,
right.
When you're writing out test questions, I'm sure sometimes without even thinking about it being like a joke, you're still coming up with that kind of narrative.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Yeah. And it's amazing, as you said, how many jokes there are about death, and particularly about the denial of death and the very human need to put death at a distance and to not be in touch with it. And so some of the existentialist philosophers, like, for example, Martin Heidegger, thought that it was very important to live in the shadow of death.
Well, he was a Nazi sympathizer.
He was for a while, yes, he was.
He saw shadows everywhere.
Yeah, he really did live in the shadow of death. But his point was that we only live authentically and deeply if we're really in touch with the fact that we are going to die, that we are mortal. And so there are a lot of jokes about death denial, like the three friends who were killed in an automobile accident. And they're up in heaven, and they're chatting about what they wish that people were saying about them at their wake. And the first guy says, well, you know, I would like to hear somebody say that I was a wonderful family man and father. And the second guy says, well, yeah, I'd like to hear people say that I was a wonderful physician, and that I took very good care of my patients. And the third guy says, I'd like to hear somebody say, look, he's moving.
Well, you have dedicated your book to your philosophical grandfather, Groucho Marx. I always thought Marx was a political figure.
Yes, well, they're all ways to be a Marxist.
Do you think that Groucho really understood that line between philosophy and humor?
He was a natural philosopher. I mean, and also, he was so playful with words. One of my favorites, he says, outside of a dog, a book is a man's best friend. Inside a dog, it's too dark to read. I don't know whether that's philosophical, but it cracks me up.
I want to thank you both so much for being with us and also congratulate you on finally making a buck as philosophers. Thomas Cathcart and Daniel Klein, their new book, Plato and a Platypus Walk into a Bar, is on the New York Times bestseller list, and it is published by Abrams Image, and it has pretty much a joke on every page, at least one
pretty
joke
close
on every page.
And
some of them are really good
concept
to
go with it.
Thanks again.
Thank you,
Leonard.